This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This sounds like
it is.
This is something that you would say.
It is something that somebody without a pick would say, but it still holds true.
Yeah, well, we're gonna have good players, though, who are really good players
like
in
I
college.
Said, go find you another Khalil Mack, homie.
Good luck. Josh Allen. That's who people are saying is maybe perhaps the best player in this draft, Josh Allen.
I like Bosa.
But anyway, should be interesting. All right, when we come back, Brian Scalabrine is going to join us. We'll talk to him about the NBA and more on the other side. Jason and John, 92 on FM, ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Guests appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Mattress by Michael Zellner is where you know you're always going to save between 50 and 80% off every day of the week. They don't have sales because they always got the best prices. Every mattress in my home, it's from Sleepy Z's. That's the way it should be.
Yep.
My man Michael's been in the business for over 18 years, and it's because of that time and that experience. He's got an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, and it's why he's been voted Memphis Most Best Mattress Store 4 years in a row.
Yep. They're an authorized certified mattress and Simmons Beauty Sleep mattress dealer. Michael's also got and specializes in the Serta Perfect Sleeper, the Serta Eye Comfort, which I own, and the Beautyrest Silver and Platinum. I recommend you go see him. He's got the Beautyrest Black line as well, so all forms of sleep, all forms of mattresses. He's got the best. He's got them at the best prices, more importantly, because when you tell him you heard this on Jason and John or heard about a Sleepy Z's commercial on 92.9 FM ESPN, Michael's cool. He's going to give you an additional 10% off. Now, that's already off their deeply discounted prices. So, we'll be the best price in Memphis. They're located at 2790 Kirby Whitten Road at the corner of Summer Avenue, right next to Hollywood Feed in Bartlett. Or you can check them out online at SleepyZZZS.com. Again, SleepyZZZS.com. Sleepy Z's by Michael Zellner, where you never wake up on the wrong side of the bed.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Clay Travis is going to join us at 1:25. We're going to talk to him about a number of things. His feud, his continuing feud with Dave Portnoy from Barstool.
I got to admit, I'm on the outside looking in on that one. That seems like a deep something that goes back a long ways.
And it does.
We talked about I'm not a big Barstool guy. So they're former friends?
I don't know. Maybe not.
Did they work together at one point?
No, I don't think they worked together. I think it's one of those things where they kind of knew each other and were acquaintances, and everything was pleasant, you know.
Dave claims that Clay ripped off his style. Are
right.
you aware of that, John?
Well, yes, because Clay started Outkick the Coverage, the website, and people said it was like Barstool for the South.
Ah,
you know what I mean?
That's what he's getting at.
Because Barstool,
I never understood what he was getting at there.
You know, Barstool is New England. You know, so that's the other thing that you have to keep in mind. But anyway,
gotcha. We'll
do that in the next segment. But right now, his name is Brian Scalabrine. He's a Radio.com sports insider, also known as the White Mamba. He joins us now. Brian, what's up, man?
I'm doing well, guys. What about you?
Everything is good here in Memphis. We appreciate the time. Lots to get to in the NBA. Let's start there in Boston. Do Bucks fans really want Boston, or do they just think they do?
Oh, I didn't know that they actually were asking for Boston. I will say this. This series is going to come down to two things. One, are the games going to be close in the last 2 minutes? If they are, I actually, as much as I love Giannis, and I do love Giannis, I'm going to put my money on the Celtics and Kyrie. The other thing is, for the Celtics to get there, can they stop the Bucks in transition on the road, which would be Milwaukee being at home? Because, man, you see Giannis in transition. This team, they run to the three-point line. They are tough to stop when they're getting up and down the floor. So if Boston can somehow control the tempo, keep it close, I think that's their only real chance to win this series because of really Giannis's dominance as just a physical specimen.
Mm-hmm. Brian, are they going to miss Marcus Smart? I'm speaking of Boston. Rozier's done a great job kind of filling in those shoes, but you can't be Marcus Smart. Are we going to see it this series? I imagine we will.
Yeah, I think I said it from the beginning. We missed Marcus in the first round, no question about it. Marcus he's kind of like the spiritual leader of the team. He gets the guys going in the right direction. He talks to everybody. He's not out for his own numbers. He just wants to win. But I said in the Indiana series, it wasn't going to affect winning and losing in that series. They just don't have enough firepower. Mm-hmm. Now, Oladipo's playing, we have a different conversation. But we all knew Oladipo was going to be out. So that was going to be sort of a one-sided series because Indiana just couldn't score. But in this series, they're going to miss Marcus Smart, and I think it will affect the win-loss column. Somewhere along the line, Smart was going to win you one or two games just from making a big play, making a big stop, getting a charge, somewhere making a big shot. Somewhere down the road, they're going to have to see if someone else can come up with that. And at times, the Celtics have had different guys step up. Gordon Hayward, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Morris, Jason Tatum, all those guys have stepped up during this four-game run they've been on so far. It's going to have to be the same old thing. It can't just be Kyrie to the rescue every single night. Somebody else has to be that next guy.
No, there's no question about it. You brought up Gordon Hayward, obviously high hopes for him when they brought him over and, the unfortunate ankle injury there. But if you think back to the game where they closed out the Pacers, 20 points on 7-9 shooting in 34 minutes, that felt like the Gordon Hayward that they were hoping to get when they made that deal. Is that what you envisioned for him and being that for the Celtics?
Yeah, even more so. Like, I don't even think he's back yet. Like, Gordon is he's kind of an athletic freak. He's a guy that likes to get downhill. He plays through contact really well. Usually he has, once again, the best defender is always going to be on a guy like Kyrie or maybe even Jason Tatum. Mm-hmm. So Gordon Hayward is sometimes attacking third-best defenders, and there's a huge drop-off between a top guy and the third-best defender that's on the floor. And Brad Stevens has thrown his coaching style down in the fourth quarter. They're going to attack the matchup that they think that they could exploit. And if Gordon Hayward is that guy that night, in the fourth quarter he was in that Indiana game, with a guy like Bogdanovich on him or something like that, he attacked Bogdanovich and got to the basket at will. So I think, Gordon Hayward had a great game in game four. Do I expect that every single night? Not really. I expect Brad to attack the matchup of whoever it is for Milwaukee, and it's probably not going to be trying to attack Giannis, but they're going to figure out where the weaknesses of the Milwaukee defense, and then that's where they're going to attack.
Brian, is Russell Westbrook a guy you would look forward to and enjoy playing with? We know how good he is, right? But his inefficiency is certainly hurting them in this series, and we've seen the lack of success without KD. I know the guy goes hard all the time, Brian. That's what I know about him. He cares, right? You want to be with a guy who cares. But is how much is he hurting them right now, and would you want to team up with him?
Sure, that's a good question. I'd actually want to team up with a lot of the good guards. Your guy Conley, Damon Lillard, right? There's a lot of these dynamic guards I would love to play with. I mean, that's just they're all good in their own right. Now, I can do without his little media beef with Barry Trumbull. I could do without that. Yep. I can do without the I'm better than the rest of the world because I averaged my 3 triple doubles, which is in and of itself is an unbelievable feat. No one should ever take anything away from that because that's hard to do night in and night out over the course of 82. But we have to start asking the question, is in today's game where shooting is such a premium and you need guys on the perimeter, you need guys to be guarding guys really tight so it can open up the floor for other people for driving gaps. Is he the type of guy that is going to impact winning at a high level? At this point, if I would have asked you somewhere in the middle of the season or even before this playoff series starts, who would you take? Westbrook or Paul George versus Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum, maybe 90, 95 out of 100 would have said Westbrook, Paul George.
Mm-hmm.
I think that has completely switched to the other side. I think people have understood that shooting off the dribble, shooting pull-up threes, getting those type of open shots, being catch-and-shoot players instead of just guys who play with the ball in their hand.
Yep.
I think a lot of people are like recognizing the greatness and the skill level of C.J. McCollum and Dame Lillard.
No doubt.
I want to go back to Westbrook and sort of potentially playing with him, because from a psychological level, right, it just feels like it would be very hard to play with somebody like him, because if you miss a shot that he sort of dishes to you, right, you know he's staring you down. If you fumble a pass that he gets to you, he's going off on
Kendrick
you.
Kendrick Perkins said
So how, you know, especially if you're a young guy, right, it feels like it might be hard. He may almost in some cases stunt development of those guys because they're afraid to make mistakes.
You know, that's interesting that you say that, because I thought some of my moments where I grew the most in the NBA is when J.K. would pass me the ball and I'd pass up a shot, and he would just murder me with a death stare or yell at me afterwards. And, you know, like, I kind of learned quickly.
Yeah.
So maybe, listen, it's a different generation now.
Yep.
And maybe those guys, maybe it's for them, they don't want the death stare. I think for me, like, knowing that I just let this guy down, it like, got me right. It got me the next time I wasn't passing up that shot. You know, I was prepared more. I never went home and cried to anybody about it. I just went out there and said, man, I got to get better. This is a Hall of Famer telling me what I need to do better.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no doubt I should trust this guy. So,
yeah.
Hey, if these guys are sensitive, then that's okay too. I'm not like saying they shouldn't be. But for me, you're asking me from my perspective,
yeah.
I would have no problem with guys calling me out if I didn't do my job.
I'm with you.
Love it. We are, of course, talking to Radio.com Sports Insider and the White Mamba, Brian Scalabrine, here on the show. Brian, do you enjoy on any level – watching James Harden play basketball?
Yeah, what a great question. Man, you got some good ones, man. On the level of amazement, yes. On the level of do I like watching him play, would I want to coach that way? Not really. But I am simply in awe of something that I thought could never be done. I thought you would never win playing isolation basketball.
Right.
I thought you would never win with everyone standing around and letting the guy go. I'm a big high pick and roll player, but as far as just going one-on-one and a guy settling for a pull-up jumper, I thought that would never be the case. And now he is like, he's truly, truly amazing. I don't think that there's another player in the NBA that we can stand around, watch, and be as effective to winning and losing as we've seen James Harden. And give Daryl Morey credit for building a team that's really around James Harden. Another thing I thought would never happen. Like, I thought the Allen Iverson Philadelphia finals run was an anomaly. You can't build an entire team around one guy. I was completely wrong by that. James Harden is just that good. Now, do I like watching it? Probably not. Do I like playing that way? Probably not. But
that's
amazing. Yeah. It is amazing to watch him go to work.
Would you say then, because of the argument you just laid out, and I might lean this way myself, that he's the MVP because of what he did when everyone else was down, because it was just him and everybody knows how to stop it, but you still can. He's still getting 50 on you. Would he be your MVP over Giannis? Would you go Giannis?
The only reason why I would pick James Harden over Giannis is because I can sit here and tell you in amazement of Giannis and his physical abilities and whatever. It is the Western Conference, and you guys know about this being in Memphis, versus the Eastern Conference. To me, and no disrespect to any of those teams, Orlando, hard coaching, hard playing, Brooklyn, I've been rooting for those guys to beat Philly. It's just not the same as you think about the West and how tough it is. Like, I think Sacramento would be a fifth seed in the East, and they're like, they're out of the playoffs. Like, can you imagine? Like, LeBron James has dominated the East for all these years in a row, and he's not even sniffing. He's not even close to the playoffs. So, I just think it's a different league. I know the Bucks have like held their own against the West. They've done great. When I go to a Western Conference team and I watch these guys play, I'm in amazement by how good the bottom half of the West is, in my opinion. Going into Dallas and trying to get a win is, like, impossible for a team like the Boston Celtics, who people kind of penciled them in to be in the finals. The West is a beast, and that's why I'd give it to Harden.
Brian, we saw Russell Wilson give each of his offensive linemen $12,000 in Amazon stock. We all wish we could get that deal. What's the best present a teammate ever gave to you?
Oh, Jason Kidd got me $15 million by passing me the ball. It don't get better than that.
It don't get better than that, baby.
NBA player, I'm not even an NBA player without Jason Kidd.
I love it.
Every time I see him, I go, what's up, kid? What's up? Hey, I owe you my life. Just you know that, right? Even though we don't have to say it every single minute, just letting you know you're my guy.
You know what? It's funny. It's funny you bring that up because Mike Miller is an assistant coach with the Memphis Tigers here in town, and he says that about LeBron. He says he calls LeBron every day and thanks him.
Yeah. I give him a text like twice a year.
That's a good one.
That's the best gift ever. Like, hey, for real, you're thanks, man. Everything. So 12,000 in Amazon stock?
Nothing.
Hey, that's pretty good, but it's nothing like, you know, making me an 11-year vet. I wouldn't even be talking to you guys if it wasn't for the guy.
Man, so. I hear you.
Gotta love it.
That's as good as it gets.
Hey, Brian, man, we really enjoyed this.
This was outstanding. Thank you, brother.
You got it, guys. Anytime.
Yes, sir.
He is Brian Scalabrine, Radio.com Sports Insider. How about that? That is a great gift. $15 million is the best gift you can give.
I
gave you a career. Enjoy it. There you go. Radio.com Sports Insider, Brian Scalabrine. All right, we'll come back. Clay Travis is going to join us. We will talk to him about the Amazon stock story. We will talk to him about his feud with Dave Portnoy. And also, it's draft week in Nashville there, which is apparently the greatest place on earth.
Oh, it means they're getting the Super Bowl.
It means they're getting the Super
Bowl.
Or to
this guy.
And the Olympics as well. Don't forget that.
Oh, they're getting
the Olympics.
Best city in the world.
Anyway, there you go. Clay Travis is going to join us when we come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM, and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
We're back, Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN, and every Tuesday around this time, we talk to Clay Travis. We're going to do that right now.
It's Clay Travis from Outkick the Coverage, Clay's radio show. Listen to it weekdays from 6 till 9 a.m. on ESPN 790 AM. Hear him now with Jason and John on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Clay, what's the word, man? How's Nashville this week? Draft week, big week.
Big week, nice little audition for the Super Bowl. People are fired up. I mean, I think it's going to be a spectacular event. I think a lot of people who have not been to Nashville before, which will be a lot of the people who are watching on television, will be like, holy crap, that place looks awesome, and it is. And so I think it's going to go well. I'm a little bit nervous, by the way, I should say. We might have some rain, you know, in an ideal scenario. You can't control that. And a lot of the events are going to be outside, and a lot of the people are going to be outside. You would hope that it's, you know, going to be a shiny 75-degree day. And Friday and Saturday, I think we're going to get that. But Thursday, we might have some rain.
You know, we don't want to make this an anti-Nashville, you know, a Nashville versus Memphis segment every week. But
why not?
We should say that we did talk to fellow Nashvillean Jason Fitz yesterday on the show, and he believes that the cities that don't get to host the Super Bowl get the draft as a consolation prize. So he felt like you should pump the brakes on the Super Bowl.
His argument, Clay, was hotel rooms. Same thing for Memphis in an NBA All-Star game. What say you?
I think the number of hotels that are being built in Nashville right now, I don't think it would be a remote stretch in the next few years. Mm-hmm. The bigger issue for Nashville is you got to build a stadium with a retractable roof.
Oh, yeah.
So the hotels, I think, would naturally follow. I mean, anybody who's been to downtown Nashville recently, I mean, we got a ton of high rises going up right now for hotels, there is certainly a high demand for travel and tourism in Nashville right now. So the hotels are behind the market. There's no doubt. But I don't know. I mean, where else have they had the draft? I mean, they had it in Dallas, I think. They had it in Philadelphia. You know, Dallas has hosted Super Bowl, I think, right? Jerry World, or at least it's been on the rotation.
Yep.
Philadelphia doesn't have any. The outdoor stadium thing is a big deal. Like, they did it in New York kind of as a thank you after 9/11, you know, kind of as a nod to the city of New York for outdoors. But I think in general, they're not likely to do that. So I think you know, the prerequisite here is not hotels. It's that you'd have to build a brand new stadium.
How down? Let's take that a step further, Clay. How down would Nashvillians? How okay would they be with that? Taxpayer money, all that. How much of a fight would that be, do you think, in Nashville?
Well, I think the ideal situation would be if the family ever, like, the look. I know it sounds crazy to say, but there's a difference between being like, I own a team rich and I could afford to build my own stadium rich.
Uh-huh.
And so I think if you are, I don't think the Bud Adams family is, I could afford to build my own stadium rich.
Mm-mm.
So I think a lot of people in Nashville, you know, there's been talk about this team being on the market and whatnot. Then in an ideal world, you would get somebody who is super rich that wants to come in and has a connection to the state of Tennessee and would be willing to help build that stadium on their own. So I think asking the taxpayers to pay for an entire stadium is tough, even if, and I do think this is true, you'd be able to compete not just for a Super Bowl, but also for, you know, like a Final Four, the College Football National Championship, all of the biggest games and venues. I think Nashville could host them with a retractable roof stadium, and I really legitimately do believe this is kind of a preview of what a Super Bowl in Nashville would look like, because they're going to break out a lot of music, there's going to be a lot of entertainment, the downtown walkable area is pretty phenomenal in downtown Nashville now, the number of bars and restaurants that have opened. We've got a new one opening literally this week on the at 411 Broadway that I'm a part owner of. So, I mean, it's not just something that I see. It's something that I've invested in myself.
Holy cow. Everything, you dropped that in there.
Everything is amazing in Nashville, it sounds like.
Rich.
So it's accurate.
All right. On to the draft. Is there a quarterback that you would sort of plant the Clay Travis flag in the ground for? The ground for? Is there one in this draft who you love more than the others?
I have watched all these guys play. I watch an embarrassing amount of college football. And I have to say that I have not watched, despite that fact, I have not watched Daniel Jones at Duke play that much at the quarterback position.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I don't feel like that comfortable talking about him, which is, you know, crazy that if I thought that he was going to be a, you know, potential top 10 pick, I would have paid more attention to Duke last year. But I have watched Dwayne Haskins play a lot. I've watched Will Greer play a lot. I've watched Drew Locke play a lot, and Kyler Murray. So I've watched all four of those guys play a lot of football games. You know, and they all have things that I really kind of like about them. Dwayne Haskins, I thought he got knocked off his spot a great deal. And when that happened, he was not that reliable of a pocket passer. When he has time, he's a great, just natural thrower of the football. And I kind of feel the same way about Drew Locke, except Locke is a better athlete than Dwayne Haskins. And Kyler Murray is just a total roll of the dice because there's no real precedent to put forward for him. So I would say, and I liked Will Greer when I watched him play a lot. So are any of these guys like bona fide stars that I could believe in immediately? I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Locke is a guy that for the last couple of years I have thought, hey, I like what this guy could potentially project as.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure that any of these guys I'd be willing to, like, you know, go to the wall banging saying, like, hey, you got to take this guy. You know, but again, I've watched them all play, and projecting who's going to be a success at quarterback in the NFL is as much art as it is science. So I think four will go in the first round. I think Will Greer will be early in the second round, maybe late in the first if things broke every way in his direction. But I think I bet yesterday that there will be over 3.5 quarterbacks drafted in the first round. I would expect four.
Clay, what's the bigger need for the Titans to address? Should they go DB in the first round and help that secondary, or should they go more weapons, more for Marcus Mariota?
I think it depends on what's on the board. They really need a rush defensive end. To me, the number one need for the Titans
That's
is somebody to get after the quarterback,
number
particularly
D.
when you look in their division. You got Deshaun Watson, you got Andrew Luck, and now you've got Nick Foles. You got to have somebody who can get after the quarterback and make
smart.
It difficult in
yeah.
this division. You could argue that this is the best division 1-4 for quarterbacks in the NFL. Not necessarily the highest, not necessarily the best two or anything else, but just 1-4, I don't know that there's a weak link, you know, where you point to and say, hey, that guy's awful. So I think you definitely need somebody who can rush the quarterback. I think they need help at linebacker. And look, you're right. I mean, I think they need help with Mariota having more options to be able to throw the football to. If Delanie Walker comes back healthy, that helps tremendously at tight end. Mm-hmm. But I could see the Titans kind of starting to draft for the future. There's a good number of talented tight ends, it seems, in this draft. I could see, depending on where things break with the 19th pick, that they could go tight end, they could go rush defensive end, they could go D-tackle, or those would be kind of the three, maybe wide receiver. Those would be the four positions I would think they would be most likely to take in the first round, depending on who's there.
And if anybody, of course, is in the Nashville area, they should stop by your restaurant, right?
Bar and restaurant, I guess, okay. To be fair. 411 Broadway, Nashville Sports Club. It opens this week.
Okay, perfect.
My gosh.
We are, of course, talking to Clay Travis, who has a beach house and a bar. Anything else? Are we missing anything else that you have that you would like to promote?
I need a lake place. I've got the beach place. I've got the house here in Nashville. But, you know, in the summer, sometimes it's too hot for the beach. I've been looking in Michigan, thinking about maybe getting a lake house, too.
All right, so we will definitely we got that out there. If anybody has lakefront property, they know where to go. Obviously –
It doesn't necessarily have to be lakefront, but I'd like Lakeview.
Okay, Lakeview. Okay, so you're willing to compromise. See, this is good. We're getting somewhere. You and Dave Portnoy have gone back.
I don't want to draw attention to myself or anything like that, but, you know, my third house doesn't have to be on the lake.
You and Dave Portnoy have gone back and forth for years now, and I understand that it's good for both you and him, frankly, when that happens. Is there like a legitimate beef? Like, is there really something between you two, or is this just for fun and games?
I think he has a beef with me. I don't really have beef with people. You know, like I make a living doing exactly what I like. If anything's good for show, I'll play it up. And so, yeah, I mean, look, if he were willing to box me, I would kick his ass. I mean, I don't have any doubt about that. If they paid me enough money to do it, I'll do it.
Yeah, but $5 million seems
I'm a capitalist.
Yeah, I understand that, but $5 million is a little ridiculous.
What about those odds? They don't
you
like
think?
It.
I don't think that's ridiculous at all.
Where's that money coming from?
You have a pay-per-view company.
Well, and I know. Is it successful?
Well, they sell
the
fights on pay-per-view.
Do people subscribe to it?
I have no idea, but if you charged, $20 for the fight between the two of us, and you could probably bump it up higher than $20, but if you just charged $20, that means you'd need 250,000 people to pay $20. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that's reasonable. I think there's certainly, I think they could sell 250,000 at $20. I mean, this is a business they have.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm not going to fight somebody for free.
Of course.
I'm 40. So if you're gonna get me in a ring with boxing gloves on, people throwing punches at me, you got to pay me a lot of money. And I'm not just gonna make money for them; they got to pay me too to do it.
But there are professional boxers who don't make $1 million for fights. You know what I mean? I mean, this just seems a little crazy.
Oh yeah, right. But most of those guys don't have very big fan bases either.
Well, that's true. I mean, I do think that going for you.
If Donald Trump, hey, look, if they were deciding to decide who was going to be the next president of the United States. And it was Donald Trump against, let's say, Joe Biden in a boxing match.
Mm-hmm.
They could charge $1 billion to fight in that fight, right? Like
yes.
Every single person in America would watch two old 70-year-old dudes who have never fought in a boxing match fight in a boxing match. If, you know, like, so the fact that you're not a professional at something matters a lot less than the audience that you could produce to watch you do something. The easy way to put this is, look at how many famous people write books and don't ever actually write the book. And tons of people will go out and buy it. They're not the best authors in the country by far. They're not even in the top, not in the top half, certainly. Probably not in the top 75% of good authors. And yet they might make millions of dollars to write a book because they have an audience of people that will buy whatever they produce.
Fighting seems primitive for you, Clay. Does he have a beach house and a bar?
I don't know if he has a bar. I think he's got a beach place, too. He's been doing well for himself financially also.
Do you have an issue with the odds? I feel like there's good value there.
The
to
odds
be had.
Were disgraceful.
Well, there's good value. I mean, I think I would probably take you plus 155. I like those odds.
What are the odds? I don't have them in front of me right now.
Portnoy is minus 220.
Odd Shark put them out earlier, and
I retweeted it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Portnoy is minus 220. You're plus 155.
Man, disrespect.
That's an insult, a total insult to me.
He's a decent favorite. He's a decent favorite over you.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's an insult. It's an insult to me. I mean, I am 6 foot 180. I think he's like 5'7", 165. So, or 5'9", or something. I don't know what he claims to be. He's short. He's a little man. If he beat me, it would be tough. It would be incredibly tough to take. The fact that I'm not a favorite. He's also a couple of years older than me. Mm-hmm. So it's not like he's 25 and I'm 40. I mean, we're talking about two 40-year-old men. The fact that he's favored as being smaller, less athletic, less intelligent, all of those things that would go into the boxing match is, I think, an insult to me.
Clay, how many fights have you been in your life? Have you ever gotten into a fist fight?
I got into a fist fight maybe when I was like 23. I mean, that's a lot. Look, I'm 40. So, again, my perspective on this is, unless you were paying me a ton of money, I'm not going to fight. Like, the idea of getting in a fist fight, if you are doing anything other than protecting your family, protecting your safety, or being paid to do it, it's insane for a grown man to get in a fight, in my opinion.
Agreed.
So as what I would consider to be a quote-unquote grown man, no, I've not been – I mean, I haven't been punched or punched somebody in, 20 years.
We are, of course, talking to Clay Travis. Joins us every single Tuesday here on the show. Is willing to fight for $5 million. So if anybody's listening. Our NBA playoff ratings –
$1 million guaranteed, $6 million potential in the purse.
Oh, okay. All right. So that I'm glad we got that cleared up. So now we
know. I would fight him for $1 million guaranteed. What I tweeted was, I'll fight you for $1 million. Each of us get a guaranteed $1 million. And then whoever wins gets $5 million.
Okay. I think that's fair. I think that, and the market will determine that, of course. So that's the beautiful
nasty
thing about
it. Fight there, Clay. I doubt it'd go two rounds. You guys be worn out. You're just not at, like you said, you're 40. You're in your 40s, man. Nobody wants to watch that mess.
I think I'm in decent physical shape, but yeah, look, boxing is a totally different universe.
It's hard.
In order to be able to stand there and throw punches for 3 minutes. I mean, it's hard.
The gloves alone.
People who haven't ever, I've never been in a boxing match, but I've done, for a while, years ago, I would do, before CrossFit kind of took off, there was some people that got popular with training with boxers. I don't know if you ever trained for a boxing match, not to actually fight in one, but just to do the exact training that they would do.
Yeah.
I loved it. I thought it was a lot of fun. But I mean, it's incredibly challenging and grueling to be able to be in a position where, basically you're trying to train for 3 minute stretches of max effort.
No doubt. A couple more things before we let you go, Clay. Are NBA playoff ratings down because there's simply just no LeBron James in them, or is there a bigger problem, whether it's sort of the way that the players are always constantly acting aggrieved and miserable, whether it's KD, Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis? Is there a bigger problem, or is it just because there's no LeBron?
I think the biggest problem is that the NBA has a player more than it has a league. And we saw this after Michael Jordan left. After Michael Jordan left, the ratings in the NBA tanked. I think when LeBron leaves, and we're getting a little bit of a preview now, the NBA is going to tank. And that's because LeBron is the straw that stirs the drink. And let's say he's going to turn 35, I think, in December. So let's say he has 2 or 3 years of decent high-level basketball left. I think that there's nobody that he's going to pass the baton to that's going to have anywhere near the same relevance or fan appeal, whether it's Kevin Durant, whether it's Anthony Davis, or whoever you want to point to.
How about
as
Zion Williamson?
Kind of the next man up to be the face of the NBA.
I mean, they thought that with Magic and Bird. Clay.
I think if Zion comes in and is incredible, that's probably the one the NBA would like to see the baton pass to. But I'm not sure that Zion is going to be a kind of a content factory like LeBron James was and has been. It's hard to know. He's 19 years old. It's also, more importantly, hard to know how good he's going to be. In order to be a content factory like LeBron James, you have to be the best basketball player in the world. And so I think this is emblematic of a larger issue that the NBA has, which is that people tune in for LeBron as much or more than they tune in for the league. And look, I mean, I think the ratings could drop 60% in the finals if you ended up with, let's say, the Houston Rockets against the Toronto Raptors. over what we saw for the Warriors-Cavs the last couple of years.
Yeah, but we know the NBA is super healthy. Every franchise worth over $1 billion, it's doing well. And I think the stars eventually will go. I am curious to ask you this one, though. Russell Wilson gave all of his offensive linemen, I think it was $12,000 in Amazon stock. Is there a better present for $12,000 to give to a colleague, to a friend? Is there something better for $12,000, Clint, besides stocking your bar?
Well, it'd be a different stock, probably. Like, I'm an Amazon shareholder, and I wish I'd been an Amazon shareholder for a lot longer than I am. But it's already close to the biggest company in the world, so you might question how much potential growth it can have going forward.
Yeah.
But given the fact that it's Seattle and that Amazon is the biggest company there, I think it's a really smart strategic move. And it's a pretty cool. Now, I didn't read the article. Did he give them each $12,000 or $12,000 total?
Each of them.
Each $12,000, which is like 8 shares.
Each of them got $12,000.
That's like 8 shares of linemen.
Pretty nice. He also bought his wife's Masters.
I mean, I think that's a really cool gift.
Yeah. He's smart. He bought his wife's Masters.
I think that's a really, really cool gift to give people.
He bought Sierra's Masters, so she now owns them.
A lot of times guys give, like, rings where they give, you know, necklaces, or they give, like, you know, expensive watches.
I'd appreciate,
you know, like jewelry, I feel like is kind of a popular gift from a quarterback to lineman. I would much rather have shares of Amazon stock than I would a watch, for instance.
What would be the best value? Because there's, like you said, there's not a lot of value. $12,000 only buys you like 7 or 8 shares of Amazon. If you had $12,000 to invest in a stock, and I'm sure you do, where would you put it? What stock has the, you know, best likelihood of growing and making you money?
Target.
The most it's the stocks that I have bought most recently are all sports gambling related companies. So I think sports gambling is going to get bigger and bigger. By the way, it looks like we might get it passed in Tennessee this week to allow online sports gambling. Memphis legislatures, members of the Tennessee State Legislature from Memphis have been instrumental in this, so props to them, because I think this is a smart move for the state, regardless of what your politics are, Republican, Democrat, you know, don't care at all, Krat, whatever you are. I think this is smart from a taxpayer perspective. But I've been buying sports gambling stocks. So there are about 4 or 5 different companies that I have bought over the last several months, 6 months or so, that I think will do well over the next 5 to 10 years as sports gambling becomes more prevalent.
No doubt. Clay,
interesting.
Always good stuff. Before we get you out of here, Clay, how can you help our listeners today?
Want to buy a home? My guy Ryan Kelly at thehomeloanexpert.com can get you hooked up. I know we're close to the end of a school year. Oftentimes that's when people start looking around saying, okay, I got a kid going into high school. I got a kid about to start school. Now's the time to make sure that I'm in the right school district for them. And you want to make sure you've got the money to be able to spend wherever you need to go all over the city of Memphis. You need to make sure that you are pre-qualified. All it takes is 5 minutes. Go to thehomeloanexpert.com. That's thehomeloanexpert.com. They'll get you pre-qualified. Rates have recently dropped back below 4%. Now is a great time to be buying, and it's sometimes stressful to get qualified, so go to thehomeloanexpert.com.
Always appreciate it, Clay. Thanks, man.
Hey, appreciate y'all. Thanks.
Yep. He is Clay Travis, joins us every single Tuesday here on the show.
I appreciate the shout out from him to Memphis lawmakers.
Yes, indeed.
That's rare. We get a little credit from Clay Travis.
Target stock, Jason, down 1% today.
That's your old thing.
Hold on though. But it's up. Nope. But it's up since last month.
Should have told Clay to invest in Nike. It's up.
It is up.
Mm-hmm.
He's just gonna have to eat that one.
He's just wrong. He doesn't like the taste.
Year to date, Target is up from $66 a share to $81 a share. So, I mean, it's not making a ton of money for you, but you're making money on it.
Little growth.
It's hard to identify stocks. This stuff is hard. That's why I just do the S&P, man. Mm-hmm. I can't get in that game, bro. It's hard. But yes, Target is one that I would definitely circle. Twitter stock is up today too, by the way. I don't know if you saw that. So this is good financial talk for you here on CNBC. We'll come back, wrap it up. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Guests appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
right, so April 27th, you're going to get 60% off anything in the showcase at Robert Irwin Jeweler in South Haven. That's located in the South Lake Center at the corner of Goodman Road and Airways. This is the last 60-minute 60% off sale for the year. It's the real deal. It's not up to 60% off. It is 60% off. No questions asked. So for 60 minutes, starting at 11 a.m. on the 27th, you're going to be able to get 60% off store-wide. Anything in the showcase is 60% off. All you got to do is be in line between 11 and noon to be admitted into the shop. No cases are going to be replenished. So when it's gone, it's gone.
Yep. This is the last one of these. Howie's done it at each location. This is the last one down at South Lake Center, right at the corner of Goodman Road and Airways. Designer jewelry, engagement rings, brand name watches, men. You can get it all 60% off. Hundreds of items on sale. Got to be in line, like John said, between 11 a.m. and noon. Y'all should know how these rules go by now. What you got to know, though, this is the last one. This is the last store that Howie's to do his 60-minute sale. It's going down. So get with it. They've got special financing available, of course, up to 6 months interest-free at Robert Irwin Jewelers. This weekend only is the sale. For complete details online, you can go to rijewelers.com.
All right, let's do that thing we do.
Here's what 92.9 FM ESPN's Jason, John, and Bennett are checking out tonight.
First, shout out to Malcolm Dandridge for making the top 100 of ESPN's newly released top 100. He's number 98. So that's three of the four Memphis Sunnies currently in the fold, all in the top 100. I think DJ Jefferson's 24. James Wiseman, of course, number one. Plenty of NBA action to watch tonight. The doubleheader, as a matter of fact, on both NBA TV and TNT. I'll probably be most tuned in to the Spurs-Nuggets. That's the best series so far. It's 2-2.
Yep. Mortal Kombat 11 dropped today.
Oh, my.
Yep. Does that make you feel old?
It does.
Mortal Kombat 11.
Finish him.
Yeah, that's on there. And apparently it has a great story mode. So if that's your thing, Mortal Kombat 11
used to be back in the day.
Is out. I know you've given up. I know you've given up the game, bro. You've hung up the controller. You've hung up the joysticks. But you'll get back soon, I predict, with CJ. You'll get back in that world very
Probably
soon.
So.
All right, that's going to do it for us today. As always, the Jason and John Show is presented to you by the Wingover. Stop by if you are hungry. Thanks to our guests who joined us today: Tim Duncan, Bob Ryan, Brian Scalabrini, and Clay Travis. Air Cast Line is up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.